So today we're going to be mamshich to chelik beis of what we've been talking about in the inyan of parnasa, malacha. Just take a 1 minute recap just to understand where we're holding, because we're building up a big foundation here. What we mentioned last shmooze was, like the pasuk says, there's a jar of man that was stored away, and it's probably still somewhere today. Maybe in the Vatican, who knows where it's hiding. But the bottom line is, the jar of man that they put away, l'doyrei seichem, for all generations to remember, that Hashem is the one that zon asa olam kula b'tuvoi. That was the first yisoy that we saw. And we saw brought down from the Rambam how all, in the link of the Messiah of Klal Yisrael, the greatest of the greatest, Tanoyim Amaroyim, they were all working people that had jobs. And we saw the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, in what's expected of us in regard to Torah with work, that we talk a pasuk like Rabbi Shmuel. And we went through the Beis Halevi that explained to us that now, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the reason why we have to work to get our panasa is pashut, it's a einish, and it's a gzeira. If we had too much free time, we'd get into trouble. And then we went further to see the Mishnah in Kedushin that taught us about finding a job that's the key of a kala, easy and clean, because it's not the job that gives you the money anyway. Every job has wealth and poverty. And then we went through the Chavis Halavavis that told us that each of us have a certain nature of something that we personally, we connect to that specific job. And lastly, we ended off with the idea of strengthening our betachon, that the more we decide to rely on the Rabbeinu Shlomo, the less we're going to be obligated to actually do. We cut down on our hours based on how much we rely on Hashem. And if we don't rely on Hashem, then you have to, if you feel you need that amount of hours to get panasa, then Hashem is going to go give it to you in that way. And that's where the Mishnah of us we ended off with was, Asei Tayras Kva. The main thing is that we're here in this world that our Torah should be the main thing, and our job is just a temporary thing that we have to go through. But the main thing is our Torah. And that's what's expected of every Yid. This is the recap of what we did in last Shmuz. So the Emes says, so everybody always has that big question of when. So when do I start worrying about Panasa? When do I have to start thinking about getting a job? So the Emes says, Reb Chaim Volozhin in Ruach Chaim talks about this. It's in the Mishnah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Daled. The Mishnah says, Em ein ani li mili. If I am not for myself, who's going to be for me? Yeshua. It may not neely meely. If I don't be for myself, who's going to be for me? Reb Chaim Volozhin says, Hayetzahara misame es einei adam. You know what the Mishnah means? The Yetzahara blinds every one of our eyes. But omroi elov tamid. The Yetzahara is always telling us, Ech efshelucho lasik b'tayra. How could you sit and learn Torah? You have to start thinking about your parnasa. You're already a mature bacher. How could you sit and learn? Don't you have to worry about parnasa? Definitely in these times, it's so hard to make money. For sure you have to worry about your parnasa. Avo be'emes, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, this thought that the Yetzirah puts through our minds, ach atzas ha-yetzah ha-mesameh. It's really the Yetzirah talking to you. It's trying to blind your eyes. And the reason why I know this, he says, because Amru Chazal tells us in the Gemara Nida, Koidem Yetziras Havlad, even before you're born, Nigzar Alatipa, it's already decreed on the drop that you're born from, Matahe Alav, what's going to be? Ashir Oyani. It's already decreed before you're born if you're going to be wealthy or poor. And therefore, it's destined to happen no matter what field or whatever you're going to do. V'hu b'derech klal, and this is a general thing that's being told to us. And also, al kol shana b'prat, and every year specifically, we know mezoinos shalom k'tzuv v'loim b'Rosh Hashanah, that the mezoinos are going to be decreed in Rosh Hashanah for what you're going to make the whole year. Nimtze, so what comes out is, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, im kol yigi yosav, with all your toil and all your worrying and stressing yourself out, lo yagia lo ma'uma, you're not gaining even a drop, yosav masha nikza, more than Hashem decrees. So you have to face reality, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, Yeshua, you have to face reality that the metzias is that there's a decree of how much panasa you're going to get. And in Mela, there's nothing you could do about it. You're not changing it. The emphasis I saw from the Nesiva Shalom, he talks about how there's taka two types of Yetzirah that a person has. There's a typical Yetzirah that comes our way. Whatever it is, he tries to make us stumble. You know, different things come up in life throughout our days, and he makes you stumble. That's the typical Yetzirah. But then he says another type of Yetzirah. He says the type of Yetzirah is like what the Gemara in Nedarim on Daf Tes talks about. There's a Lashon over there in the Gemara. It's a famous story. We don't have time to go into it. But the Gemara says over there, Bikshu litardeni min ha'olam. The Yetzirah wanted to be matred me, means made, distract me from the whole world. Over there, he's talking about looking at his reflection in the mirror, how beautiful he was, and he's trying to get him away from his avodas Hashem. But the point being, says Nesiva Shalom, is another type of Yetzirah that's not just making you stumble and, you know, just trip in your avodah, get you to be nichshol on avera, but rather he wants to ruin your whole being, ruin your whole life. Tardeini min ha'olam. I think, Bachram, this age, this is a specific Yetzirah, this second type, that's something that's very much important that happens to us very many times. The Metzius is, I've seen this countless times, I've been watching Bachram for over 15 years, tracking them, seeing how the way they go and all that. You don't realize how these years create your whole future. That's the Metzius. What you do with these years is going to determine who you're going to marry one day, what type of family you're going to bring up, what's your home going to look like, how you're going to mechanic your children, everything, your whole shalshelus for the rest of your life, all your generations, is all based on these prime years. And many times I've seen a bachur is here in yeshiva, and be'etzem he's destined for greatness, and somehow this yetzahara sometimes creeps in, and it could put a ruach shtus in a bachur to either leave for no rhyme or reason, or just not use his time well and just waste his years right here when he has such opportunity. And whatever it is, it's the Yetzirah creeping in, the second type of Bikshu Litardeini Min Ha'olam. These Bachrim, who Rachman al Tzad, either they leave and they're not in yeshiva for no reason, or they in yeshiva and they don't even make anything out of themselves. What do you think happens? It's a galgal that just keeps going. Then the shalshalas is what yeshiva they end up going to afterwards. And then where do they go? Who do they get married to? What type of family think they're bringing up? And you don't realize how the consequences, and it's all from these prime years. And we have to realize this is what Rav Chaim Volozhin is really talking about. That there's a yetzahara that blinds our eyes and tells us, how could you sit in yeshiva? Don't you have to worry about parnasa? And that's this second type of Yetzirah that comes our way. That's mamash, this second type of Yetzirah. It could ruin your whole future. It's not just now. We're talking about your children, your grandchildren, all generations are ruined because of small decisions a person makes at this young age. You know, Rav Melech Biederman brings down a Moiridika Maisa. There was a story of a father that came with his son to the Chafetz Chaim. And they were having a difference of opinion. And they presented it to the Chafetz Chaim to ask the Chafetz Chaim who's right. What was the machlokes between the father and son? They presented it to the Chafetz Chaim. You know, the father said, I want my son to stay in yeshiva. He's learning. He's doing well, let him learn. And the son responded and said in front of the Chafetz Chaim that, I see how hard my father's struggling in Parnassah. I want to ease his burden. I want to leave yeshiva and go to work. Pasha to help him out. Look how hard my father's working. And the father says back, no, but I don't want a son that's ish sodeh. I want a Yaakov ish tam, yeshiva holim. I want a son that's sitting in yeshiva. And this was the fight. And the son said back, what do you mean? Ta, you're in work and you're conveying to Matayra. You set aside time to learn. So I'll go to work and I'll set aside time to learn. What's the big deal? And this is the machlokes that they had, a very fundamental machlokes. So they asked the Chafetz Chaim, could you help us out to determine what we should do? The Chafetz Chaim said, there's a pasuk in Eicha, in Perek Dalet, that the pasuk says, Bas Ami La'achzor Kaye'enim Ba'midbar. Which means my nation is Ka'achzor, like a cruel, very cruel, like these Ye'enim, this type of bird, a Yana, a type of bird, which is called a cruel bird in the desert. This is the pasuk the Chafetz Chaim quoted. He said, why is this Yana bird called the cruel bird? What's so cruel about this bird? Said the Chafetz Chaim, I'll tell you why. The metzius of this bird is that this bird, this Yana, has very tough flesh. It can eat anything and it won't get harmed, which means it eats from the floor even though there's glass particles there and other sharp things. And it doesn't matter. Whatever it decides to eat, it's very tough. It's able to eat it, and it won't get wounded by what's eating, even when it has sharp glass and things that are going into its stomach. That's for the Yana himself. However, this Yana is so cruel that it even feeds the children like itself. And therefore, it gives this type of stuff to its own children. And the children, on the other hand, their flesh is still soft. They don't have such tough skin yet. And the child of this bird that eats this type of stuff, it ends up being tearing its insides and become bloody and all that, and it really ruins the child because of what the parent's feeding it. And this is why it's called the cruel bird. This is what the Chafetz Chaim told the father and child. So he said, my dear son over here, you have to realize, your father is already much older, he went through life, he became very tough skin. He's able to get out there in the world with his tough skin. And even if he takes in sharp objects and things that are, you know, bad, some dangerous, but because of his tough skin and tough flesh, he's able to handle it. However, you, the young child, you can't compete yourself that why can't you go to work? You're too young to go to work. You go out there in the world, all those tough and sharp objects are going to cut you, and it's not going to be do well for you. And maybe you should listen to your father, and your father's right, that you should stay in yeshiva. This is a meiser, Melech Bideman brought down, that happened with the Chafetz Chaim. But the emphasis is, in a practical sense, we have a Moshe Feinstein, from the Gedolei Poskei Hador, that you can look up this tshuva yourself. It's in Yoredeya Chelek Dalet, Simen Lamed Vav. But Moshe Feinstein was asked, a young bocher just finished high school, and he's thinking now, instead of going to Beis Medrash, to go to work. What does Rav Moshe feel about this? This is the question that was posed to him. Zokar Moshe here in the tshuva. Masha Talmidim Acha Shegomru B'Yeshiva. They finished their English 4 years of high school. They're about 17, 18 years old. They want to leave yeshiva now and start worrying about work, college, panosa, whatever it is. It's the convincing of the yetzer. As if they have to worry about panosa. And he brings down even panosa of chochmas harefua. Moshe lived in America, so we can't say, like, you know, he came from 200 years ago, he doesn't know our times, doesn't know what goes on over here. And Moshe was in America, he knows what's going on, and he says, even the guy wants to become a doctor. And to become a doctor, says Moshe Feinstein, b'shvil zeh tzrich machana gedoyli, you need a lot of preparation. Leilich le'college t'chilo, you have to first go to college. Shumeshach eser shana v'yoyse, you have to sit there at least 10 years in college. It takes a lot of preparation. Even for such a Talmud, I'm telling you the same psak. And what am I telling you? Kvar amarti bepirush atzas rishoyim. I already explained many times, what does it mean atzas rishoyim? Which is, he quotes the pasuk at Tehillim. The pasuk at Tehillim says, Ashrei ha'ish, asher lo holach batzas rishoyim. What does this pasuk mean? Fortune is a person that doesn't go with atzas rishoyim? What do you mean, you're fortunate if you don't go atzas rishoyim? You're not fortunate. It's simple. Atzas rishoyim is the worst, and ashrei ha'ish that doesn't follow atzas rishoyim. Says Rav Moshe, I'll tell you pshat in the pasuk. Sheshum odom lo nasa rosha pisim. No one becomes a rasha suddenly. Ela betchila choylech be'etzah shalahem. The person really first begins like a frum erl chatzadik, and he just follows their etzah a little bit. Lidoy glin yepanasa, like their etzah about worrying about panasa when they're so young. Afshad dayim lehigiyuz manu ladayga gazu. They wait. They didn't reach the time that they have to worry about such things. Sheyesh like kol tuv beis lava. They have everything good in their father's house. Va'avur other than for their father, Nakel, it's very easy to befarnas like to keep him going. He has a few kids and he befarnas him also. Ain't Sarch Lhoitzi Azek, come on, Klum, it doesn't take much to have another child. He doesn't have to go to work yet. Umakol Mokum Doyiglu Panasa. Yet this Bacher starts worrying about his Panasa. Bishvil Atzas Rishom, it's Atzas Rishom that he's falling into. Vahainu Bamasha Moitzim Bedivi Chazal. And this will be fine in Chazal, Ein Lismoich al Hanes. And they start blaming it on the fact that Chazal say you can't be Soymoich al Hanes. Moshe came up with a teretz of why these people are worried. Why are they worried? Because they can't be Soymoich al Hanes. Doesn't Chazal tell us that? How can you rely on Nisim? So I have to go worry about Panasa. I can't rely on Hanes. Says Moshe, Machmir and Bozet Tuba. They become such a big Machmir with this idea. Everything else in life they're not Machmir on. Zman Kriyashma they could miss. And other things they could miss. But this of Ein Soimchim Alaneis, all of a sudden there's such a Machmir Bezetuva, Loi Meshloi Dai Lidai Galzel, Lashid Starach. It's not enough to worry about when it's Negeya, but rather even now I have to start worrying about my Panasa. It goes on by Richus. There's no time to go the whole thing. The Akapanim, he says, very interesting. He says, and some people, they have fathers that the father tells them, I love you so much, and therefore, Ruitza Lalamdin Ummis Shagam Masheris. The father said, I love you so much, I want you to be wealthy, I don't want you to have to struggle in life, I want you to become rich. I'm telling you, you should go to work and you'll become rich. Don't listen to anything else, but trust me. This is what the father tells his child at times. Machshava zu hu sheker. So, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, this machshava, such a thought, is sheker. The ain umnis, there is no job that anybody can promise you. She'ein bo aniris vashiris. That doesn't have poverty too or riches. Shloy aniris min umnis. Poverty doesn't come from the job. V'lo yashiris min umnis. And wealth doesn't come from the job. El hakol lufi zchusu. Everything's telling you zchusim, like we spoke last time. Do the right thing, the one that gives the panasa. And to learn an easy, clean, light job. You should know, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, in America, it's a medina of chesed, and it doesn't take so long to pick up a trade. Learn a good umnis. The Adarab, Medina Zu, you should know in this Medina, the Atachol Oilab, and even in the whole world. You see how Moshe was so in touch. Kemat kol ashirim nasu, loy mishum limud eza chachma. Most wealthy, rich people are not from learning chachmas, loy refuah, it's not because they became a doctor, loy chachma sacheshbain, and not becoming an accountant or whatever it is. Most wealthy people didn't come from all the studying and professions. It's from the zchusim and the mazal that Hashem benched them, even though they didn't go and study in school and all that. But he says, l'maisa, there are people, harbei talmidim, she'ein roitzim mishum leifin laniach limudim yeshiva. They're not ready to leave yeshiva. They're ready to stay in the yeshiva. Ubo am lishu, but they come and ask me, im yesh lam chiv miktzad kibud aveim. keep it of aim, and maybe b'chayim, I have to leave yeshiva. My father wants me to go to worry about my panasa. I should listen off keep it of aim. Poshut sheleka. It's poshut. There is no mitzvah of keep it of aim in such a scenario. And I'll prove it, says Ramesha Feinstein. Uka'uvdo d'Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Like the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus brought down in Chazal in Pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar and Perek Aleph. He said he brings down Maisa Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. It's a famous arichus. I don't know if we spoke about it this year, but we've seen it over the years. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus has a story there. Shahayu la'aviv chorshim harbi. The father had many fields, and he put his son in the field to do plowing for him. One day the father bumps into his son in one of the fields. Amaloi aviv, they ma'at abaycha. He sees his son crying. Why are you crying? Amaloi, any baycha, elashani mivakash lo matayu. I'm crying because I pasha want to go learn tayu. I'm not interested in being in the field. Let me get out of here. I want to go learn tayu. That's why I'm crying. Meaning, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was an Am Aretz, never learned a word in his life. He didn't know the Aleph Beis. Amaloi, his father told him, Hari ben shmoyna v'esrim shana ata. You're already 18 years old. Va'ata mivakash lo matayu. You want to start learning tayu now? Give me a break. You're too old. Hello. Instead, he says, get married and you'll bring your kids to learn Torah. But why would you waste your time and start learning Torah? You're already 18 years old. And he brings down V'chulu because the end of the story was, Amad V'olol Yishalayim. He didn't listen to his father. And he went to Yishalayim, Eitzu Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai. And Amad V'lomdu Torah. And he taught him Torah and he became the great Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Says Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, I see a raya. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus didn't listen to his father. There was no mitzvah kibbutz of aim, and Itaka became great. Eloboru says Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Shebozeh imashaloi hoyu la'ilu klal avos ha'toyra. The reason why people have such thoughts running through their head is because they don't really have love for Torah. Rak betiva, naturally, they're just going through the motions in yeshiva of doing what they have to do. But there's no real love. That Lima Torah is Iker Kol Chayenu. They're not learning Torah, realizing that Torah is your life. Hu Tachlis Shalonu. Shalachain Elam Sipak Anefesh. They're not getting satisfaction because the Torah is not real by them. But if they made their Torah real and they realize it's our life and it's our Tachlis, then says Ramesh, such a shtus wouldn't go through their head. Af Bishvil Azman Shalimud Torah L'shon Rishtayim. And even if you're just going to learn an extra year or two, Dover Godol Ma'id. Even just to stay an extra year or two, it's a Dover Godol. Sheyilmoy be yeshiva oid shon. If you learn yeshiva one extra year, yischazik libo, it strengthens you. V'yishor ben Torah l'olam. You might remain a ben Torah your whole life because one extra year in yeshiva could change you. Ramesha ends this piece just telling us that with all this in mind, he says, you should know anyway, people, he says, who decide that they want to go to college, and he says, kedava betuach, they feel secure. Af sheyochu l'college, even though they're going to go to college, lo yilmud d'dvorim asum, they're not going to learn anything asur. Ein l'smoich hazeh. Don't be so certain, even though there's Jewish colleges and everything, and you think you're going to learn everything mutter, it's not like that. Vaday ein l'smoich hazeh. Don't be seimich on it. Yesh lochosh, and we have to be very concerned when a person does enter all these other studies. Im chayfshim, the kayfrim, many times you're with people that are not religious, and the kayfrim, and yashpil love the ra, that can be mashpia bad on you. And therefore, you should know, gam hu yoysim chshash ba'alma, it's not stam chshash that I'm talking about. This is a real, very real concern. I want to read you a meritic story. A very, very heartbreaking story that I once saw. It happens, a true story that happened about 10 years ago. And it really brings out this message of what a yeshiva is doing for us. And at this young age, sometimes we don't make the right decisions. And it's that second Yetzer Hara that's creeping into us. This person wrote it about himself. Until a few years ago, I didn't take anything very seriously. I graduated from Yeshiva High School. And unlike most of my class, I didn't feel I had what it took to be a learner. I thought I'd get a job and have a good time before I settled down. My parents were not very pleased with these decisions. But at that point in my life, what my parents wanted was not terribly important to me. Regrettably, During this time, I fell in with a group of friends who were not so frum. At first, I told myself, I'm not going to be influenced by them. But this turned out to be very far from the truth. In a very short period of time, I became exactly like them, and maybe worse. I should have known better. Shabbos meant nothing to me. Kashrus meant nothing. And my life was spent in a haze, which even today I have trouble remembering. My parents were devastated. Maybe they didn't expect me to be the best of the best, but they certainly didn't expect this from me. As well as having destroyed my own life, I was on my way to destroying my family as well. Because of the bad influence I was having on my younger brothers, my father asked me to leave the house. When I moved out, I said some really cruel things to my father. I can remember him standing silently at the door with my mother crying at his side. I realize now that what I have seen in them as a weakness was actually enormous strength. I had no contact with anyone in my family for almost a year. Deep inside, I missed them very much, but I foolishly thought that I would be seen as weak if I ever contacted them. One morning, I was shocked to find my father waiting for me outside my apartment building. He looked at me with tired, worn eyes and asked me if we could talk. Stubborn to the core, I only nodded. And we walked to the corner coffee shop where we sat down. He told me how much everyone missed me and how I had been on their minds and hearts every second that I had been gone. He told me how much my mother agonized over what had happened, blaming herself for not having been there for me. While he was talking, tears began rushing from his eyes. He told me that he wasn't here to lecture me. He just had one request. He wanted me to drive with him that afternoon to Muncie and say one chapter of Tehillim at the grave of a certain tzaddik. As far removed as I was from Yiddishkeit, I was moved by his request. I told him that I couldn't go that day, but I would go with him some other time. In truth, I had plans to go with some of my friends to Atlantic City that evening. I didn't want to break them. When I told him that I couldn't go that day, he reached across the table and took my hand and just looked at me with his tear-streaked, sad face. I felt my own eyes beginning to water, and rather than have him see me cry, I just agreed to meet him later that day. I made my necessary apologies to my friends, and later that day, I met up with my father. We didn't talk much during the trip. I remember getting out of the car with him and walking over to the grave. He put some rocks on top of the grave and gave me a tehillim. We must have looked quite strange. My father, in his long black coat, a black hat, with me in my leather bomber jacket and jeans. We didn't stay long. 10 minutes after we arrived, we were back on our way home. The return trip was as quiet as a trip there. My father left me off in front of my apartment building. I still recall the words he said to me as I got out of my car. He told me that no matter whatever happens between us, I was always going to be his son and he's always going to love me. I was emotionally moved by his words, but I was not experiencing any spiritual inspiration he was hoping for. I shook my head at his words and parted company. The next morning, I woke up to some shocking news. On the way back from Atlantic City, my friends were involved in a head-on collision with a tractor trailer, and there was no survivors. As I write this letter, I am overcome with emotion. I meet a bris today for my first child. My father was a tzaddik, and he held my son on his lap. His eyes met mine and we smiled. It was as if we had finally reached the end of a very long journey. We had never talked to each other about that trip to Muncie, nor had I ever told him about the death of my friends. I just walked back into the house that evening and was taken with open arms, no questions asked. I don't think I'll ever understand what happened that day. I just know that sitting here late at night with my son in my arms, I will try to be a father to him that my father was to me. This is a Moridika Maisa, a true story that happened 10 years ago. And we have to realize, we're all young Bachrim. And as young Bachrim, like in this story, we have to be honest. We didn't live through life. And many times we can make silly, stupid decisions. And I've seen it over the last 15 years or more of Bachrim your age. Bachrim that made silly, stupid decisions. And they're ruining the future of their life because of what they decide. And therefore, this is a yesod that we have to know. That we're too young to trust our own decisions. And we have to go ahead and be shoyel etza. And to always ask before we make moves to make sure we're doing the right thing. Rachmana litzlan, we don't want to come to Shemayim and have regret of a whole lifetime that could have been so different if these young decisions that we made when we were young bachar would have been different. The Chazon Ish writes, it's a letter in Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Dalet. He says how we have to realize as young bachar, it's never too late. No matter where we're holding, it's never too late. These are the words of the Chazon Ish. Da lecho yakiri. I want you to know, my beloved. Ki akol toloi bahaskama. All your success is toloi in a haskama that you decide. Harbe migdoili oylam. Many of our gedolim hischilu limudam bimei bachurasam. They first began learning when they were already a bachar. They were older. They found inside themselves tremendous strength. They made a commitment. Haskoma Aza, a very strong commitment. To be kaveh himself in Torah. To throw away the whole storm of the world, what they're running after. To throw aside. Right now I need to get a foundation in Torah. And to make a real commitment that I want it to be a real strong foundation. That for life I'm going to remain a Ben Torah. Hochu v'gdilu v'asu peri. These people that had a great haskama and commitment, they ended up blossoming and seeing major peris. V'dalucha, you have to know, ki bireishis haderech, at the beginning of your path, when you're starting such a thing of deciding that I want to become a Ben Torah, Mazmin hasatan ikuvim mechshelim with the adam. The satan comes along and he finds many obstacles to make a person trip. He finds many things to stop him from this gvaldika path that he's choosing for himself. And a person has to be strong. Avol soifa adam. If a person is strong, the end's going to be lenatzeich. He's going to become victorious. Habol letayir mesayin noisay. Sometimes bol letayir, the Rebbeinu Shem helps and he finds his success. This is something we have to know. We're all in yeshiva to get ourselves a good foundation for life. We want to get that Torah is going to be the ikkar in our life, no matter what we're going to do one day, no matter what field we're going to go into, no matter what profession we're going to have, no matter where we end up, we want to remain a Ben Torah. And a Ben Torah means you have to have Torah as an ikkar. If later on in life, when you're in the world, and you have a job, and then you're expecting yourself the job should be the side thing, and the Torah should be ikkar, it all starts in yeshiva. Is Torah an ikkar in yeshiva? If Torah is not an ikkar here, how do you expect it later on in life to be an ikkar? A person becomes a doctor one day. How is Torah going to be the ikkar if even in yeshiva he wasn't the ikkar? Whatever job you go into, if our job in life, like we saw in Shulchan Aruch last time, at Shulchan Aruch Paskins, your job can't be the ikkar, your Torah has to be the ikkar. You had to go to work is just to go ahead and make a panasa, to go through the motions that the Baruch Hashem decreed so. But the Torah has to be the ikkar. It all starts right here with a commitment that I'm going to make Torah the ikkar when I'm in yeshiva. So it all breaks down to, in a very practical sense, lemaisa, it's a very hard decision on a personal note, every one of us. How do I know when it's time? How do I know what? How do I know what to go into? How do I know what to do? All these questions are very valid questions. And it's very hard. We don't have the VM to get exact instructions of exactly when and where and how and all that. But we have to realize there's one thing that's always going to be a gvaldika security for us. And it really, it's the Mishnah in Avos in Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet, that says, Batel Ritzoincha Bafnei Ritzoinoi. be mevatel your desire before Hashem's desire. Which means, don't map out your entire life now when you're so young and you're 18 years old. If you have it all mapped out, that's where you're going wrong. How do you know to make all those moves of your entire map that you just draw for yourself? The most important foundation we have to know is let's throw ourselves in Hashem's hands. We can't know what's 100% right for us. And we have to just go on a daily basis, tamim tia, Hashem alekecha, constantly go and walk with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Batel ritzoincha, mevatel your desire before Hashem's desire. Walk with him, and he's going to lead your path and take you to where you belong. You know, Reb Chaim Volozhin in Ruach Chaim explains this Mishnah. Batel ritzoincha b'fnei ritzoinoi. What does it mean to mevatel your ratzon before Hashem's ratzon? Hainu, that means to say, the Mishnah is asking of every single one of us, shlo yir lo la'odom ratzon atzmoi klal. Don't have your own ratzon, that this is what, the way it has to be. I have to go at this, blah, blah, blah. Don't have your own ratzon, that this is what you're deciding. But rather, yashlich ritzoinai, throw your ratzon mineged, v'yistakl rak al ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Throw it, that, go with ratzon Hashem. And if you do that, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, oz lo yechsa lai kol tov. I promise you, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, you'll never be missing kol tov in life if you throw away your ritzoides and throw it on Hashem. A person who throws himself in Hashem's arms, Rav Chaim Volozhin's promising you, he Hashem, the Rabbi Yoyla, who's a toiv, lakoil, is going to lead your path and take you to where you have to go. And like I told you last time, if you want to read stories about this, I told you last time, I recommend the Living Amunah. There's tens of hundreds of stories there. Real-time Maisim. One after the other. Maisim again and again. Where people threw themselves in Hashem's arms and the Rabbeinu Shalom led the path for them to success in life. And this is really the foundation that we have to know. In this complicated Indian of Parnasa, after knowing all from bottom up, all the different Hashkafas and the Yesodis, at the end of the day, we can't map out our whole life. We have to throw ourselves in Hashem's arms and let Hashem's Ratzon lead the path for us. Time is short, but I just want to tell you a Maridika Maisa I just heard yesterday. There's a Yid, so Mama, the story just happened. There's a Yid, makes a Panasa, but he's not crazy, you know, making a panasa. And he heard that his brother was really struggling. And he really wasn't making it. And his brother needed help. So someone approached him. And this guy himself is not, you know, well off or anything. But he committed, you know what, I'll help my brother. Someone was taking care of it. He told this person, I'll help my brother. I'll give $250 a month to help my brother. My brother's struggling right now. I'm going to give $250 a month to help my brother. Now, $250 for this guy was a lot of money. Because this guy is not doing well. He has to support his own family. But he said he's going to do that. He started doing it month to month. And in a very short period of time, all of a sudden his wife calls him from work. His wife also works. And his wife called him. My boss just told me he's giving me a raise of $2,500 for the year. That was the number that the boss gave. Which is mamish, kamat amount of money that he was giving away to his brother to help him support it. The Mori de Kamaisa of Hashkacha Pratis, how we think we lead our lives and we're in charge, and the Rebbeinu Shel sees everything we do, and every maisa we do, and every act we do. And that was just like a small reminder. A Mayudika story how this person committed himself to help his brother, and he would think, listen, I'm struggling myself, go find somewhere else, go to a rich person, don't come to me. But he felt like we were Sarchal to Salim, it's his own brother. And he decided to start writing a check every month for $250, and the Rebbeinu Shel immediately, within no time, that raise came along, and that covered the whole expense. Time is short. Just end with this Beis HaLevi. Beis Halevi brings out this point that we're ending with, where the Mishnah says, "Batal b'tzoyin chulufnei b'tzoyin amokam." Beis Halevi writes in his Kuntres on Betachan, when he ends his whole sefer, his whole Kuntres, he's finishing Kuntres on Betachan. This is the message, his departing message to us. He says, a person, ikur betachan, is totally believe. Betachan is all in the heart. That's where betachan is. You could talk about betachan, you could read books on betachan, everything in the world. But lamaisa, where are you holding in your heart? Do you feel comfortable and you feel like in Hashem's arms? Or you're worried and your mind's racing and all that? Betachan is totally believe, is in your heart. Liboy ritzoino yushketim ushlevim. Your lave and your rotzen have to be at ease, calm. You shouldn't have ritzoinis in your heart that I have to go ahead and do this and that. Kol kach yischazik b'tchoino. You have to strengthen your betachan so strong. Shebevada yasen loy kol mashen nitzruch l'tevasoi. I feel so comfortable. Hashem's for sure going to do for me what's good for me. I have no doubt that Hashem's going to take care of me. Yevatel ha'odom ritzoin atzmoi. Yevatel your own ratzon. Rak yase, asher yase Hashem. The only thing you should have in mind is what Hashem does. I know Hashem is my loving Father who cares about me more than anybody cares about me. And in Mele, even more than I care about myself, Hashem cares for me. And I know that the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to take care of me and do what's best for me. Ki ein mi sheyodea mahu atoyv l'fnei ha'odom. There's nobody that knows what's good for you, kaboyri yisburuch, like Hashem. Val kein roi l'odom ha'shalim. Therefore, a person that's trying to reach shleimus, yimsor ritzoinei b'yad ha'yedea v'ayochol. Give over your being to the one that knows and is able. And that's the departing message of the Beis HaLevi in his Kuntres al Betachan. That is the message for all of us. That we have to know. There's no one that knows what's better for our neshama and our purpose in life here in Olam Hazeh and the Bayri Olam. And therefore, we have to give ourselves over to Hashem. Let's live our life with Hashem. Let Hashem pave the path for you. Like I say every year, I say this 100 times. You know, I myself, in my life, I never thought this is where I would end up being. I had so many other plans. I wasn't zochet to yeshmuzim like this when I was in Pesach Yeshiva v'shona. And then I had plans in my mind a little bit. Baruch Hashem, I didn't make any moves towards it. But I thought my mind would probably become an accountant. And I don't know, when I was dating my wife, she asked me what I'm going to do. And I told her different ideas that I had in my mind. I really had ideas. And Baruch Hashem, I didn't make any moves to go do that. Imagine if I would have just went to school because I wanted to become an accountant. The point is that don't cut the Rebbeinu Shlom short and start mapping out your life and start taking action and making moves towards your goals. Rather, Rachman Litzlan, where would I be today if I would have done that? And we have to realize, every one of you too, we can't go ahead and map out our whole lives. Hashem knows what's best for you more than you know for yourself what's best for you. And the Rebbeinu Shlom will take every one of us to our destinations to reach our tafkin and our tachlis in life if you allow him to. If you're boicher b'toyiv, and you don't make those mistakes of being boicher b'ra, the Rebbeinu Shlom should bench us all, and we should taka be matzliach in this grosser inyan of Torah with malacha and all that, to make the right decisions at every step of our life, that be'ezer Hashem, every single one of you are going to live our lives, taka being very successful, but Torah is going to be the ikker, and our malacha is only going to be our right.